At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 58 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, and you can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show. You can listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, and you can donate to the show if you're feeling generous at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard here with Paul. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just getting into my busy period at work now, but still manageable for now.
Yeah, that's good. I've been watching a lot of wrestling this week, actually.
Yeah, same, actually. I just finished the last show, basically 10 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, I had like a huge marathon on Saturday night of just watching wrestling, and then caught up with the Noah stuff that happened this week and everything. So we're going to start off this week with some news, hopefully positive. Yusuke Okada is undergoing treatment. I guess that had his abdominal issues were a malignant tumor that's cancerous possibly, but it sounds like they caught it early enough and his prognosis looks good.
Yeah. But they did remove it, right? But that's when they found out it was malignant, so he has to undergo further treatment.
So unfortunately, he's going to be gone for a while either way.
Yeah, definitely.
So best wishes to his health, and hopefully, he can come back and kickstart to his career and everything like that, because we've been obviously lots of discussion over what's happening to poor Okada over the entire course of this podcast.
Yeah. And given everything that's happened, he's definitely my favorite Okada in wrestling at the moment.
Yes, definitely. Some Okadas have gotten a lot of heat for multiple reasons.
I mean, one significantly less bad than the other. One is just like, I want a bunch of money. The other one is a sex pest. So I still take the one that is greedy over the one that is a sex pest.
Paul, did you watch the main event of the DDT show this past weekend?
No, but I've heard great things about it. And apparently they drew a massive crowd for it as well.
Well, yeah, they claimed 1,600 even, which is like pretty darn big for Corkin these days.
That's a full sellout. That's a full, like, I'm pretty sure that is like the maximum you can draw in there at the moment.
So I watched the match. It was a great match. I went 4 stars. Kaisei Takeuchi would obviously go down as one of the best celebrity debuts wrestling of all time. I'm not sure he's quite Logan Paul. But he's really damn good. I mean, he looks like $1 million. And as others like Dave Meltzer have said and everything, it's like, it has like real Crush Gals / World Class in 1983 vibes from the crowd. Just like this, like constant like screaming and everything like that.
Okay, yeah, so that might be a bad comparison, but like a Von Erich, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I haven't seen too much talk of this, but I thought Hideki Okatani was great in this match. Not just his work, but like what he was, because he was like the only true real heel in this match. Because at the beginning of the match, everyone shook hands. But then when Takeuchi went to shake Okatani's hand, he like, you know, does a little thing where he kicks the hand out of the way. And that like got a lot of heat. And he got a lot of heel heat when he was roughing up Takeuchi. So I thought he was right there too. And I wanted to point that out.
Okay. Well, I definitely have to go and check it out then in that case.
Yeah.
And how old is Takeuchi actually?
I thought I said 26, but he could be older.
Oh, I mean, that seems like a perfect timing then for him to like get in.
All right, we're back. I just had it interrupted by a fire alarm in my building. Everything is okay, but just didn't want to have that in the background of the audio. So
you didn't want to burn to death in the middle of the recording?
Well, yes, I also made sure to make sure my building was actually not on fire. So we were talking about Takeuchi's age. He's 26.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, you took the time out to watch the entrance.
Yeah, I actually watched the entrance. Yeah.
So what did you think of that?
Yeah, that guy is a star. I think that becomes pretty apparent. Like, I think he, like, sometimes he can just instantly see. Like, I just watched the entrance, I should say. I didn't watch the match. So, but like, sometimes you can just see it with a guy the first time he comes out, right? Like, with Anzai, I think you could see it. Like, there's other examples as well. Like, actually, I remember, I think, like, the first time I saw, like, fucking Roman Reigns on, like, I think that was still FCW. That wasn't even NXT. And I was like, yeah, okay, that guy's going to be a star. Like, sometimes you just see someone and it's like, okay, like, yes, Takeshita actually would be another good example on, like, DDT. No, and also that number looks legit with the 1,600 there. Like, you saw people up on the balconies. And also, that was a reverse ROH crowd where you could just see that the crowd was, like, overwhelmingly female.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not a one-shot. So I would assume that Takagi will want him back, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. They're insane. If he wants to do it, like, they would be insane not to bring him back.
Yeah, exactly. So since we're already on the topic of DDT, we're going to pivot over to the Wrestle Universe changes. So at the end of the month, Wrestle Universe is going up in price to $1,249 or 39 yen.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But you're getting more promotions. You're getting, well, and Gambari is staying, but you're getting Sendai Girls, Michinoku Pro, and Real 01. So this
is specifically just Real 01.
So before we talk about Real 01, I think this is a huge step up. I have no issue with the price increase. I mean, what's like 300 yen these days anyway?
I mean, that's enough. Like, I actually looked at it, the exchange rate has gotten even worse since I was there. Like, when I was there, it was like 1 to 150 for like euro to yen, and now it's like 1 to 163 or something.
So that means hopefully the Great Space War live.
Yes, I very much hope for
Or at
that.
least like a couple of day delay instead of like a couple of weeks.
But if it was live, oh God, that would be amazing.
I said that Girls is definitely my favorite Joshi promotion because it's just no nonsense, hard hitting stuff. A big Chihiro Hashimoto fan. So that's great. And Real01. Well, I don't know how to describe it. I
Well,
know.
it is just a sub promotion, Gerard. It's
But
just a
is
sub
it?
promotion of 01. No, it's not. It obviously isn't.
So, Bahu, who knows a thing or two about the Japanese scene, especially the indie scene, said that they're separate companies. However, and I'm just still confused, and I believe that because there's some weird things going on. A, Masato Tanaka and all the older guys like Takuya Sugawara and like Chris Weiss and all that, they're not like scheduled for the 21st anniversary or the 23rd anniversary show.
Yeah, and Chris Weiss is the current champion.
Yeah, but so I thought it's like all the older guys left, but then I see on the poster for the March 1st show that Junya Matsunaga, who hasn't been on these other Real01 shows, is scheduled on that show. And if you go to the 01 website, it's like, well, it's both. They're advertising both companies, right? Like all
Yeah.
the other guys are still on the pages. Right? So it's like,
Yeah.
are these
I
companies
mean,
basically
when I checked, I actually only saw real 01 events on the website, but I guess that they add like the normal 01 shows now as
Oh, you're
well.
right. You know what? It is just Real01 on this website.
Yes. So, that was the tip off to me was like, okay, there's some like, okay, not just that, but like the obvious tip off was only Real01 getting on Wrestle Universe, because that's weird if it's only a sub promotion. That doesn't make any sense. And then I went to the website, and the only thing advertised on the website are Real01 shows. Whereas you can still see that there are normal 01 shows if you go to the ticket website. And obviously the entire press conference not featuring any of the Real01 guys.
Also, and yeah, Megumi Kudo is with Real01. So she has taken, because she was basically their president, right? So she went with them. So I've no clue what the actual details of any of this are.
I mean, it might just be that like whoever has like control of the website went with the Real01 guys, and that's why that's the only things on the website.
Because like
Or they forgot.
if you look at the younger guys like the Junya Matsunaga and Sugataka Sato, those guys have barely wrestled all year.
I mean, there has
And
been only one like proper like 01 show, which was the like January 1st show, which I should have gone to in hindsight given everything that's going on now, but what can you do?
So like I said, you've got I think the only young guy is Nagao. Suki Nagao went with him. Junya Matsunaga's working a show, so maybe he's gonna go over. I don't know. So
And then Shuji Ishikawa is working the anniversary show.
yeah, so Tsuji Ishikawa and Black Mensa right now seem to be aligned with the actual 01.
Or at least working with them, because I feel like they're just kind of like popping up everywhere a bit.
Yeah, I mean that's what it could be and everything like that. So that's sort of interesting. So I don't and it seems like sort of the old 01 is like now just Tochigi Pro Wrestling, which is one of their regional sub brands.
Yeah, because they've run to Chigi Pro shows.
On the 23rd, right? But like who was there? Like the main event was like Takumi Baba defeating Tetsuhide Takaiwa for the junior title, right? And the Intercontinental and the NWA Intercontinental Tag Team title match, right? Junya Matsunaga and Sugataka Sato defeated Daisuke Sakamoto and Rikiya Fudo, right? So
I mean, again, given that Chris Weiss is the, like, it's again, like, what happens now with the top title? I think that's still one of the biggest things in the air, right? Like, I think the 100% confirmation we have or we will get is if Chris Weiss just gets stripped of the title.
Yeah.
Unless they take the title with them, and because whoever actually owns the right to that.
Yeah. Like, I've seen people speculate something, some sort of disagreement with Ohtani. I have no clue. I feel bad also speculating about that because Ohtani's condition.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
Right. So, that's the thing with that. Paul, did you watch the main event from that one? I haven't watched the 29th. I don't know. Oh, wait. When's that? Because there was a show on. Let me see here. There's a show on the 23rd. Oh, it just came out today. So I haven't gotten a chance to watch it. But there was another one from.
So I tried to watch the Shinjuku Face show.
Yeah, on the
tour. And it was very poorly attended.
Oh, yeah. It was 204 fans, which is well under 50%.
Yes. And there was no one in like the front. Like the other. Okay, I get that Japanese promotions never actually move people to the hard camp site, but man, they really should have done that here because that looked really bad.
Yeah.
I kind of only made it to the second match and then I had to tap out.
Well, I saw the first match. It looked depressing and I was planning on watching the whole show. I just fast forward to the main event.
Yeah, that's what I should have done too.
And it was good. I wasn't as good as the other. It wasn't as good as that Limit Break main event, but like it was a strong showing. Relatively strong showing. I mean, Sugawara is not great. But other than that, it was a pretty good it was a good, like, 3.5 stars tag match type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, a solid main event.
Okay, you know, fair enough.
Tanaka and Shiozaki, you know, doing, just kicking the crap out of each other type thing. So, that's 0-1. Or real 0-1. Or whatever. So, we'll see. But, I mean, I don't know.
If it is on Wrestle Universe, I think we will like dip in whenever there's anything.
But I could see the novelty on that running out very fast if this is all
right? If it's just like Chris Weiss. I mean, Masato Tanaka is still good. I mean, I guess it very heavily depends who gets the Fire Festival.
Yeah, for sure. And then in the next thing is the Bloodsport ticket prices have been released and they are insane. I believe it's like 50,000 yen for the front row or something.
No, not 50,000, 125,000.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. 50,000 would be perfectly acceptable. That's not a lot, actually. That's like way less than like.
So.
That's like less than I paid like 50,000. Not 50,000. Yeah, I paid 8,000 for like second row in Korakuen.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. That's a Korakuen second row prize for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think they're totally out of touch, or do you think that they know that they only have a small base of fans to draw from, but they know that they will spend money, they will pay for that price point?
What do you mean they would just want to bleed them dry? I mean, maybe it's also a thing where like they know that there are some people that want to get rid of some money some way, and so they know those people are going to buy the tickets and then hand them out.
Yes, yes. So I just thought that was very interesting. Just in terms of that's crazy to do something like that at Sumo.
I mean, they have to load up the card now. Like, can't be just like. It can't be just like Hikaru Sato.
Some of those 50-year-old guys, though, that would be down for this sort of nostalgia might pay like that kind of money.
Maybe,
my thinking of it.
But how many of them, like, right, like, how well do these, like, nostalgia promotions draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, some of them draw well, allegedly, but there's, like, a big allegedly on that.
Yeah. So we'll see how that turns out, but that's something to monitor.
Yeah.
To see how that goes. Paul, did you watch Brian Danielson versus Jun Akiyama?
No, not yet. Trying to think, when did that happen? That was last
this past week's. Saturday.
Oh, this past Saturday. I don't think that's been released yet, actually, in Germany. Because like the YouTube channel where they Well, it airs on like pay TV, but nobody has pay TV in Germany. So they actually upload the shows on like the TNT or not TNT, whichever channel actually has it. They have a YouTube channel as well, where like after a while they actually upload the shows for free.
It's worth watching, absolutely. I mean, it is 2024 Jun Akiyama, but he did give a good bit of effort. I'd go like 3¾ on the match and everything like that. And okay. After the match, Danielson punked. I mean, Akiyama got chance, and after the match, he got punked out because Danielson kicked him in the balls.
Okay, I mean, do you think that he's gonna be back like a bit more, like he's gonna team with like Kingston or something? Or
well, just, like, I mean, that could always happen, but I mean, this was just to build up Danielson versus Kingston.
Okay,
but yeah, it's worth going out of your way to see. I think just for the novelty of it, for sure. And Paul, you're going to 16 Karat.
Yes, I booked a trip to the most exciting city in Germany, Oberhausen. That's a joke, by the way. Oberhausen is not great. Yeah, the only reason I would ever go there is to go to a WXW show. But yeah, I am going to be going there for so right now I have tickets bought for night one, night two, and Ambition. I can't really do night three because I have to work on Monday and the show at Oberhausen is too far away from Berlin for me to like make it back in time, essentially, after the show would be over. So I'm just going to do night one, night two. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I've seen kind of they've already released like the first night matchups, and Wagner is actually going to face off against Peter Tihani, where if you don't know the European scene, that's like one of the hardest talents, I would say. Like he's like I think he's like 21-year-old Hungarian guy, just all of the talent in the world. So I think that's going to be a good match. Although I do find it curious that they got booked against each other in the first round, because I actually expected Tihani to be a guy that actually goes far in this tournament, but I also don't think they're going to like have the GHC champion lose in the first round. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, we shall see. But I would like, I don't know. I think Noah's even dumber than I normally think they are if they actually allow their champion to just get punked out in the first round.
Isn't Masato Tanaka in that tournament?
Yeah, Masato Tanaka is in that one as well.
So,
if
Wagner doesn't win the tournament, could Tanaka pin him? Do you think that would be politically acceptable?
I mean, maybe. I could also maybe see that they do some like heel shenanigans, maybe. But like he basically gets eliminated via like some like heel, basically like kicking him in the balls and rolling him up or something. I think he could do that too.
Yeah.
I don't think he's losing. I doubt he's losing clean. That would surprise me. But yeah, it is very curious. I mean, I don't like, again, he was booked for Carrot before he even extended his contract. So who knows when the plan was actually made for him to like win 16 Carrot. Or not win 16, when the plan was actually made for him to win the JHC title, right?
Yeah.
That was actually made after he extended his contract or not. And now they've kind of put WXW in a tight spot because they can't just have him like lose clean. Because like, even before, I wouldn't have thought that he would have lost in the first round. But
no.
Let me actually look with Tanaka's. Oh, Tanaka is up against Elijah Bloom in the first round. But I don't know what like the further kind of bracket is after that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get one called Mandus versus Luke Jacobs, which that's definitely a match I'm really looking forward to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gringo Loco versus Mike DiVecchio. That's going to be crazy too.
All right. So we go on to Noah. I have to say, once my displeasure of Keno losing the GHC title faded away, I have to say that I'm back into it again.
Yeah.
Because I have been enjoying this Victory Challenge tournament so far. And so we'll start with that on February 24th at Yokohama Radiant Hall in front of 309 fans. We're just going to do the Victory Challenge matches because I could tell you some stuff on this card that I didn't watch and I knew that I was going to watch because there's a 13-minute match that ends up with Daga getting disqualified. So just in the victory challenge, Dragon Man and Alpha Wolf defeated Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba in 10 minutes and 33 seconds with a shooting star press from Bane on Inaba. I mean, I thought this was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you even had Inaba pulling out some lucha.
And, yeah, I forgot. I think he actually went on excursion in Mexico, right?
Right. Okay, so that makes sense. I forgot about that.
I think I'm not 100% sure.
And, like, Kitamiya was a great base, and it was just... those guys doing all their high flying and everything. So it was just a really, really fun match.
Yeah. I also have to say Masa Kitamiya is like even more now, like slowly but surely, like physically morphing into Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
Right? Like his neck is also just disappearing as well at this point.
Paul, Daiki Inaba's had exactly one match in Mexico.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
And it's some indie. In Cortararo, and it was Andy Wu, Captain Centella, and Ray Impacto defeating Delirious, not that Delirious, Hiroki Inaba, which is his shoot name, and Thor, who doesn't even have a cage match profile. Does the Mexican Delirious?
So there's so if that Thor doesn't even have like a cage match bio, what are the odds? It's literally just a guy dressing up like Thor from Marvel.
Oh, well, this was in 2013, but still, it was, that could have been very possible in 2013, actually. Yeah. The main event of that show was Ahio DeSanto and Ricky Marvin defeating Angel Blanco Jr. and Dr. Wagner Jr. So that could have been...
2013, that actually could have been really good, yeah.
Yeah, that could have been a nice little main event. Let's see if there's any other Japanese wrestlers on this card. No, most of the people on the show don't even have cage match profiles. Like, there's a Bandito 1 and Bandito 2.
How did he end up on that
and
show?
And none of them have profiles, so they're different Banditos.
How did he... Was he just, like, on vacation in Mexico and someone just was just like, hey, do you want to...
Marvin's on the show, so he probably took him there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Marvin would have been in Noah and he was Wrestle 1. Oh, no, this was even before the...
Yeah, no, this is before. This is before 3rd. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very random. So actually, what's very
he also had an IWRG match.
Oh, he did he? Oh yes, he did. Just one. Okay, so he probably were Andy Wu and Freelance defeat America VIP, who is Daiki Inaba.
Oh God, was that Daiki Inaba in a like and a mask at, like as an American or something?
Maybe. You know what? He probably worked more than two matches in Mexico. They're just like
real low level indies that don't even pop up.
That would hire like sex or something like that.
Oh, but that actually, the IWRAD show actually had Rio de Dr. Wagner Jr. on it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And El Pantera, who was in Wrestle One.
Yeah.
Or is that the same Pantera I'm thinking of? Yeah, it is. It's
the
one Pantera. Yeah, because this is an August.
And Saru, man.
Saru.
I don't know. Is that a guy that just dressed up like the fucking Lord of the Rings character? I mean, it is Mexico, right? It's always a possibility whenever you see a name like that. It's actually just a guy dressing up like the... Because copyright doesn't exist in Mexico.
No. Okay. So, yeah. Anyway. So, yes. Inaba's got lucha experience. And it was a great match. And then the next match was Manabu Soya and Shuji Kondo defeating Kenno and Yu Owada in 1306 when Soya used Lariat on Owada. I mean, this was another good... Pretty good match. I thought it started off a little slow, but I thought the last couple of minutes when Owada went on like a rampage, got a couple of near falls, it was a lot of fun and gave a lot of rub to Owada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also thought like Owada got like good fire in there. Mm-hmm. It's actually like I think in general, like I'm gonna talk about this later for the other match as well. It's interesting actually that Owada so far is the guy that has gotten a lot more spotlights in the team than Kenno has.
Yeah. Are you saying that Kenno is unhappy
Not necessarily, but maybe it feels like a bit more of like a concerted effort to actually like build up Owada.
Yes. Well, they know what they got to do.
Yeah.
So. And then we go to Saxon Huxley and Timothy Thatcher defeating Kaito Kiyomiya and Raihoe Oiwa in 1254 when Thatcher made Oiwa submit to a Fujiwara armbar. Again, I thought this was very solid. I thought Kiyomiya and Oiwa worked hard here and worked very well as a team here. This is a nice little match. And I got to say, Paul, look, Saxon and Huxley are perfectly good little foreign heel team.
You mean Huxley and Thatcher?
Yeah, sorry.
Saxon and Huxley.
Yes, Huxley and Thatcher. Thatcher and Huxley, yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, Saxon Huxley will never be anything special, really. But I feel like they've acclimatized themselves well, and they work way better as a team than I thought they would have.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, they were up against two great wrestlers, so yeah, that helps too.
I mean, if you're a real Thatcher pervert, you could say that he's toned down his style.
He definitely has.
Yeah. I did notice that, but...
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but what can I do? I mean, he's also not the youngest anymore either.
Yeah. Yeah, he's over 40 now.
Yeah.
And then in the main event, Takashi Sugiura and Uka... I think it's pronounced like Uka, because that's like the crowd chanting.
One of the problems is that there isn't really an L sound in Japanese.
Yeah.
So I've actually heard like people chant Uruka as well.
Yeah.
While I was at the show, Gurukan, but most of the people all say I go with Uka.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, they defeated Goshi Ozaki and Atsushi Kotoge when Sasaki used a shining triangle on Kotoge for the submission. Very solid. I got to say, on this show and on the next show, Sasaki is looking less lost in the ring.
Yes, he's definitely figuring
times, it out. Other times, he looked a little lost. I mean, obviously thought still always had potential, but he's really starting to show improvement. And so I thought I don't think it was the best match on the show, but again, it was solid. All of these victory challenge matches are at least like a solid match.
Yeah, I'm still struggling to kind of pick one that really stood out to me. But yeah, again, like all of them are at least very, very solid, because there's also none that stand out in a bad way either.
No, exactly. And then, so we go to the 28th of February at Shinjuku facing 301 fans. I mean, 309 at Yokohama Arena Hall is not bad, but 301 at Shinjuku? Eh.
I mean, it's better than what they've drawn previously as well.
Yeah. Better than
Real 01.
I
mean, that's for sure. Yes, better than Real 01.
Anyway, I watched Jake Lee versus Shuhei Taniguchi. I don't know if you did.
I did watch it as well. Yeah,
I thought it was a very interesting match.
I thought it was kind of boring.
Well, look, it was eight minutes of like Taniguchi just like grabbing and beating on Jake's shoulder, and then Jake made a comeback, gave him a knee to the gut and the running the FBS in the corner, and then that was over.
Yeah, that was the weird part where like Jake just worked from underneath the entire time. That's a part
I counted like two bumps in the match.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate it just because it sort of told the story, but it was very bizarre at the same time.
Yeah, I really didn't get this one, especially since he's up against like fucking Fujita soon.
When I saw that match was happening, I was like, I'm gonna watch it because I thought maybe, you know, it's not what I expected.
No, it's definitely not. Where like he got less offense than Olga Sasaki did.
Yeah. And then we have. On the Shinjuku show, we had Saxon Huxley and Timothy Thatcher defeating Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf in 1409 with a neck hanging bomb from Huxley on Wolf. Again, perfectly solid match. They worked well enough together.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the weakest in this one, though. Takashi
finish also kind of came out of nowhere as well to me. Yeah. Because it just kind of like he just kind of did like basically Huxley like basically like Alpha Wolf did like a bunch of flips on Huxley, and then Huxley kind of just got up and did the neck hanging bomb and pimped him, and that was it.
Yeah. And then next up for Victory Challenge, Takashi Sugiura and Oka Sasaki defeating Manabu Soya and Shuji Kato in 12:42 with a Hurricane Rana from Sugiura on Soya Soda for the flash pin. Talk about wins getting matches ending out of nowhere, but this was obviously a better match than that previous one. Again, very solid, although I didn't think anything stood out too well, but I thought Sasaki looked good.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And then Victory Challenge, Goshi Ozaki and Atsushi Kotoge defeated Masaki Inoue and Deki Inaba in 16:36 with the go-on lariat from Shiozaki on Inaba. I mean, this was really good.
Mm-hmm.
These guys just beating on each other for 16 minutes. I think this might be match of the tournament.
For me, it's between this one and the next one.
Yeah. And then we'll go to, obviously, the main event, Victory Challenge Tag League, Kenno versus Yu Owada and Kaito Kimi and Ryohei Iwa to a 20-minute time limit draw. Didn't realize the time limit was 20 minutes, so I think we'll see more of them in this tournament.
Yeah, I think that was really done to establish that as well.
Yeah.
I saw some people joke as well. It's like, oh, man, Kaito can't even tap out a young boy, but I thought the finish was done really, really well here.
Yes, yes. The time limit went out, and Iwata managed not to submit to the face lock.
Although I will say, I don't even know what that Kaito submission was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That was a Kazuchika Okada level submission. I'm like,
oh, it's not that
what,
bad.
What part of the body is this supposed to hurt? But yeah, no, otherwise it was really great. Like, I think Owada sold his ass off here, the desperation. And because there were a lot of moments where it's like, yeah, okay, here he's gonna tap here, he's gonna tap here. Because I think what he did really, really well was his hand movements, right? But he teased tapping so many times and just didn't, and then the time ran out.
Yeah. So
I know that was great.
Yeah, this is a very strong match. You go either this one or the semi-main event is the best match on the show, or even the best match in this tournament, I think.
Yeah.
I think
it's this one. This one is, I think, my pick for best of the tournament so far.
And I just realized, Paul, we forgot. I put in the run sheet that Corkin Hall in the 23rd. But we can run through that very quickly.
Yes.
So that was in front of 1,115 fans at Corkin Hall, which I think, given the card,
mm-hmm.
was a pretty decent number for Noah these days.
Yeah.
I watched Ninja Mac versus Junta Miyawaki, and that was a fun, quick little match. I watched the two Victory Challenge tag scrambles, which I thought were both very good. They were just go, 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 everybody get their shit in type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought Jack Morris defeating Anthony Green in 2028 to retain the GHC national title. I thought this was actually quite good.
Yeah, I actually thought this was really good as well. I would actually say it's one of either men's better matches in Noah.
Probably
for
Green's
Morris,
best.
Yeah, I would say Green's best, and for Morris, it's second or third best, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, they did the gimmick where it's two pals wrestling each other. So early on, it was a lot of counters and face-offs.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like how they did do the Morris or Green was on his knees, looked like he was done. He's like, come on, do the knee, running, finish me. But then he tricked him out.
Yeah, no. I thought that was a great fake out as well. Because at first I was like, oh man, that's a bit melodramatic, and then
exactly.
He just
this isn't
fucks
NXT,
him over.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they went on for a couple more minutes after that, and then Green missed a moonsault or some sort of splash, and then Morris got him with the knee and the Tiger Driver. So it was mm-hmm. very good. And then in the main event for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, Yohei and Tadasuke defeated Hayata and Ada in 13:19 when Tadasuke pinned Ada out with the good-looking pile driver after several good-looking pile drivers. I don't know. I thought it was fine enough.
Mm-hmm.
The last few minutes were good with Tadasuke and Ada. I went 3.5.
I was definitely happy about the result because I fully expected Ada and Hayata to win here.
Mm-hmm. Especially given how much the crowd was behind Hayata and Ada.
That too. But no, I think to me it's the absolutely the right decision. Keep this on Tadasuke and Yohei. And again, like after like a long period of like a lot of bullshit, I would say over like the last year or so, like the junior tag division has actually quietly been like one of the best parts of the promotion.
Well, we just had another DQ.
Yes.
But yes, it's not as quite as egregious as it once was. And yes, and
no.
Title matches are generally pretty good.
And there's no like nonsensical like turns all the time either. It's like we actually have like a consistent division now.
Yeah. So looking at the Victory Challenge Tag League, Sugera and Sasaki have 4 points, Huxley and Thatcher 4, Shiozaki and Kotoge 2, Soya and Kondo 2, Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf 2, Keno and Yu Owada 1, Kiyomiya and Oiwa 1, and Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Naba at 0. But off to a good start, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think we still have some really good matchups left as well.
Yes. And before we move on to All Japan, let's just check in one more time with Jake versus Fujita, which is this weekend on the 2nd, I believe. Paul, mm-hmm. got any other feelings on how this is going to go from the last time we talked about it?
Not well. Don't think this is going to go well. I really hope Jake is winning, because what the fuck are we doing otherwise?
Yeah. And what do you think about Jake winning at the end of the month, end of March?
I really don't. I really hope he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, like I said, I've actually found him a lot more interesting outside of the title picture than inside of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's one way to build up Fujita or Jake, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, he's, you know, looks credible going into this with single victories over Taniguchi and Fujita.
Like I said, to me, like, my hope is that this is like kind of one of the last dates on Fujita's existing contract.
Yeah.
So they're just using that to put Jake over.
There are Noah contracts that roll over in like April.
Yeah.
So it could be, yeah.
And he generally only works the big shows.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is the last big show, right? Before April. Do they have another big show in March?
Well, right at the end of March is when Keno and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or sorry, Jake and Wagner.
Wagner, yeah. But again, that's after, right? Like, you can't do that match there. So, yeah. You can do this one here. You have, then maybe you have booked Fujita one more time at the end of the month, and that's it.
Because
mm-hmm. it's weird that he's still hanging around. He's like one of the only, like Muto guys that is still there. And he just, like, he definitely feels like out of place in the promotion now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is Noah. They could screw things up with Jake again, but I am over the Keno losing and I'm into it again.
Yeah. Like I said, to me, it was all, like, I also didn't like Keno losing, but to me, it was also not the wrong decision to put it on Wagner.
Well, no, because I don't want to sound like I think Wagner's a bad champion. Absolutely not. But Keno is like the great stabilizer.
Yes.
He is the top star of the company right now.
And he was also super hot as well. Like, that's the other thing.
Yes. So we move to All Japan Pro Wrestling, and they did their little three-show tour in West Japan. And we start in Okayama Convention Center Hall in Okayama in front of 693 fans. Okay, so we had Kazuhiko Nakajima defeating Hokuto Omori.
Just real quick, the streak of 1,000-plus attendance is broken.
Yeah. But I think these are good numbers.
No, these are good numbers. I'm joking, but it was actually impressive that they had, like, for the entire year so far, they've drawn like 1,000-plus every single time. But no, these, like, all of these numbers are really good.
Oh, speaking of All Japan, do you know who Atsuki's replacement was against the Brahmin brothers?
Also someone that got horrifically injured?
No. It was Aja Kong.
What the fuck? That's obviously, I mean, I guess it makes sense because first you replace Rei Saito, or you replace the Saitos with the Aoyagis. So I guess you kind of like, what's like a mixture of like Atsuki Aoyagi and Rei Saito is Aja Kong, I guess.
Yeah, so it's Yuma Aoyagi and Aja Kong defeating the Brahmins. They went to a double counter, of course. And then we started the match, and then Kong pinned Kai with the Yuriken.
Yeah.
Also, June Seto did work the show in a 10-man tag. He teamed with Tsutomu Osugi, Banana Senga, Antonio Hanna, and Kazuki Harada with June Seto, defeating Mascara Guerrera Jr., Oka Masamune, Gay Urano, which is Yasugi Urano, Oka Mammoth Sasaki, and Oka Makoto, who is Makoto Oishi. So
okay, but like if June was already was there anyway, couldn't you just have booked him with Yuma?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, unless they want to like keep them apart for like All Japan kayfabe. Yeah,
well, June got the win in that match when he did a double choke slam on Masamune and Makoto. So yeah, that's and this is the Toru Washi anniversary debut show.
How many did that draw?
550 fans.
Okay, that's good.
You can see full house at Shinjuku Face.
Okay, that is good.
Yeah, yeah. 20 years of Toru Washi.
It's been a hard 20 years as well.
It has been a hard 20 years. I mean, when I first saw him 20 years ago, I thought he looked cool because he looked like the 10 ripoff. But he didn't quite live up to that.
No, not really.
So Katsuhiko Nakajima defeated Makoto Omori in 5:13 with the Northern Lights bomb. I think we went over the problem with this match.
Yeah.
And this didn't help because the other two guys that Nakajima would face would get even more time than this.
Yeah, Ryu Inoue getting more time was especially baffling.
And looking better.
Looking better too, yes.
Getting more offense. So, you know. I mean, he just slapped him and hit the Northern Lights bomb. It was good for a 5-minute match, but I just think it was a waste of what they had built up previously.
Mm-hmm. At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And then Jun Saito, Kono, and Toshizo defeated Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, Sego Tachibana, and Seki Shioka, making his return to All Japan after like 5 years. When Saito pinned Tachibana with the Psycho Break, perfectly acceptable wrestling. Shotaro Shino, Ryo Inoue, and
Ake. Actually, sorry, just real quick. I actually like for that match during the entrance. Where you had Jiro steal a bunch of children.
Oh, yes,
from the right. Audience, and do like his little dance with them, and then he's like, "Oh, hey, there's this little kid back there that I forgot. Let me just go and get him." And that's when Voodoo Murderers rush out of the curtain to attack him. I thought that was a really good bit.
And then Shotaro Shino, Ryo Inoue, and ATM defeated Naruki Doi, Fuminori Abe, and Ray Paloma in 11:40. When Shino used a German suplex on Paloma. Paul, this was a comedy match, basically, that they got Shino now.
Yeah, it really seems like Shino's getting, like, pushed down the card, right?
And because Ray Paloma did his losing his pants gimmick and everything like that.
Yeah. I mean, at least Shino no-sold it when Paloma, like, tried to lariat him with the pants down.
Yeah, yes, that was funny. But I had enough Ray Paloma after this tour.
That's fair.
Because I know he pops up occasionally, but I don't know. I wasn't feeling him right now. Kento Miyahara, Yume Aoyagi, and Rising Hayato defeated Dan Tamura, Takao Mori, making his triumphant return, and Ren Ayabe in 15 minutes.
After like
a month.
2 months. Yeah, a month.
when Miyahara pinned Ayabe with the shutdown German. I mean, I thought this was a pretty good match.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't completely shocked to see Ayabe take the pin. We'll talk a little more about him later.
I mean, he's still getting booked though. So.
I know. Well, okay. Weird. Spoiler alert. He took a fall on everyone. Ayabe took a fall on every one of these shows. And I was like, okay, he's done. Oh, no, he's not. So I don't know what's going on with that. Are they punishing him until he leaves?
I don't, but he's also going to be on the 01 show as well.
Yeah. Anyway, All Japan World Tag Team title contendership match. Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defeated Ryuki Honda and Yuma Anzai in 21-22 when by referee stopped Suzuki with Suzuki putting Honda in the octopus hold. I thought this was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, they started with the young guys showing up trying to go mat wrestling with them, and then they brawled. Then I thought Suzuki and Anzai had some good sequences towards the end. So this is very solid, I thought.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would have maybe hoped for like a little bit more, but I thought it was still a pretty good match. But it just didn't quite get to like, I don't know, I was like maybe hoping for like a 4-star match, and I don't think it quite
Suzuki's like going to be 44 this year if he hasn't already had his birthday. I mean, they're getting old.
Yeah.
Suwama's going to be 48 this year.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mileage on
that. No, sorry, 48 this year, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. And then in the Hikaru Sato Triumphant Return commemorative special, Minoru Suzuki defeated Hikaru Sato in 22-36 with the Gotch style piledriver. Look, this went too long, but at the same time, I enjoyed it. Also, Suzuki did stuff here he hasn't done in a while, because this was not like American Indie Minoru Suzuki either.
No.
But he wasn't taking crazy bumps or anything, but he was just doing more mat wrestling and moves and counters and stuff like that. So in that case, there was some fun stuff here. It just went too long.
Yeah. And he did like chuck Hikaru Sato like all around the arena. So.
Oh, yes. He did that too.
Like he, like that, those chairs went flying even more than normal. He just went just full board, just throwing him.
Yeah. And the match had The match had good heat.
Yes, no, definitely. It was definitely over, but I said it was way too long.
Yeah. And then we go to the next show.
Well, before we get to that, there's actually a show we forgot to put on the run sheet, which is actually kind of important.
What?
You didn't put the Kurikan on here.
Oh. You know what? I thought we had recorded that last Kurikan.
That was on the 20th. So that was last week, and we recorded the week before that.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Ah,
we previewed it.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. I totally mixed up my things. Okay, so we'll do the Corkin right now. We won't even do the whole thing.
No.
But put it in here. Okay. I'll say 1,269 fans. That's good for a Tuesday.
Yeah, when I saw that, I fully expected the like 1,000 streak to get snapped here. And then, yeah, no, that number is amazing for Tuesday.
Okay. Miku Aono, and I'm only bringing this up. Miku Aono and Natsumi Sumikawa defeated Koki and Naru in 6:41 with the lariat from Aono on Naru. This is the best actor as girls match they've had.
Yes, definitely. That was like an actually like really solid match.
Yes. Okay, special singles match. Suwama defeated Hideki Suzuki in 16:25 with the backdrop hold. Like I said, these guys are showing their age.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I sort of dug it because this was a match I wanted to see, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like 3.25 stars.
I mean, at least it didn't go 60 minutes.
Yes, like they teased. Shitaru Ishino, Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, and Hikaru Sato and Harley Jackson defeated Naruki Doi, Hokuto Omori, Ren Ayabe, and Osamu Nishimura in 11:24 with a Falcon Arrow from Jackson on Ayabe, which was another job because I was like, oh, Ayabe's leaving and Harley Jackson's coming in because there's more Harley Jackson being booked, as we'll talk about.
I mean, and I always keep forgetting that Harley Jackson uses "The Day Is My Enemy" from The Prodigy, which I strongly associate with the Kings of the North. So I always get confused when that happens.
And then Ryuki Honda and Yuma Anzai defeated Kono and Toshizo in 7 minutes and 51 seconds with the final vent from Honda and Toshizo. I mean, this was a lot of brawling because the Voodoo Murders were up to no good, but you just wanted to. It was a good little, like, heels get their comeuppance by the young babyface team.
Yeah. Nothing blow away, but yeah, as you said, classical, very classic match structure, let's put it that way.
Kento Miyahara and Rising Hayato defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Atsuki Aoyagi in 9 minutes and 21 seconds with an overdose from Hayato on Atsuki. And this is where Atsuki destroyed his knee.
I didn't really notice where it happened, though.
No, I didn't either. But it does not look good because it's like ACL, MCL, and oh, I forgot the other name. It's the, what's the little ligament? Other ligament. The
it was. It's basically all of them. Yeah.
All of the knee.
Right. Yeah.
See you in 2025.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Yeah. No. Like, and he was on such a good run as well, and like that's also like a lot of like knee damage. Like I'm
meniscus.
Might have to like. Oh God. Yeah. Like he's still young, where he can definitely heal from that, but he might need to adjust the style a bit as well.
As you suggested, becoming a fat brawler.
Yeah, he becomes a fat brawler. I mean, look, his brother's already tending that way a bit as well, so he can follow him.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very good match too.
Yeah,
and obviously Haido winning was, you know, and the overdose looks good.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that it was that. Because again, he was moving around fine beforehand. So I'm kind of afraid that it was that.
Yeah. Anyway, how would you describe the new Hayato finishing move?
I mean, he kind of like almost rolls him up and then just like pulls on his knee until he like taps out essentially. Like it's basically like he puts him in like, I don't know, like he's on the ground. He puts him kind of like in a reverse, like, chin lock almost, and then pulls on his knee at the same time. It's
like some weird like STF inversion.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it definitely looks like it hurt. I just hope that it didn't actually hurt.
Well, I think if that happened to his knee and that those ligaments were hanging by a thread.
Yeah, might also be.
So maybe he should stop doing missing a moonsault in like every other match.
Yeah, that probably doesn't help. Again, we saw what that did to Kobashi.
I think it's probably even worse when you miss the moonsault than land on someone.
Yeah, because then you need to like, because if you do that, then you can like, at least you land on something, right? Like it's like the same thing where it's like, it's actually better if you go through a table than if you just fall onto concrete.
Yeah. And then for the Gyarra TV title, Saigo Tachibana defeated Ryo Inoue in 13-16 with the Yankee Hammer to make his first defense. This is awesome.
Yeah, I thought this was awesome. I thought it was like the best Gyarra TV title match.
It quite possible.
I think there was like one other one from like the Iria reign that I think got close to that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, against Kodaka. Yeah, that was amazing as well. But yeah, I think this one was better.
Yeah, Ishikawa had a pretty good match against Sakamoto.
Yeah. There's the second half of the June Kasai versus Black Mansoury match.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because it had a terrible first half and then an amazing second half.
Yeah, I mean, like, Inoue looked amazing. Tachibana, like I've been saying, he's very underrated as a worker when he's not doing his comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And of course... talking about people almost getting injured, that dive from Inoue, woof.
God, yeah, that was, he got lucky, and he got really lucky on that one.
Yeah.
What do you think of his new look, of him kind of going away from the blonde hair?
It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually think it looks better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it in a weird way gives him, because he didn't go black, right? He went to brown.
Yeah. Or like burgundy or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
No, I think it definitely helps him stand out more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this match certainly raised his stock.
Yes, for sure. No. So. I think it raised both of their stocks, which is
great. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that fit, that Yankee Hammer also looked amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then for the PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship, Dan Turmero defeated Fuminori Abe in 14-47 with the Lariat to make his third defense. I've seen mixed things about this match, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good as well.
Yeah.
It didn't quite reach the like sky-high expectations I had for this, but I thought it was like very, very good. Like title defense for Dan.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Like Abe worked the leg, and then like, you know, Dan had to fight back and everything. And there were some great counters from Abe, like the power bomb and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And again, Dan is super over, which helps all of these matches as well.
Yeah. And then the Triple Crown, Katsuhiko Nakajima defeated Jun Saito in 18-11 with the Northern Lights bomb to make his fourth defense of the Triple Crown. I mean, I like this a lot. I don't know. It's pretty much what I expected too.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it's probably the weakest of his title defenses, but that's not saying a lot because they have all been really good so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely exceeded my expectations, I will say, because I think Ray's pretty good with Drew, and I'm not sure about singles matches, but I think he like did well here.
I thought Nakajima was fantastic here in
yes.
carrying June and structuring this match and everything.
Yes, no, I think Nakajima being in there helped really well because he basically like was like a ring general.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, also impressive that he got a mud for the Northern Lights bomb.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a very long one, but...
Well, you don't have to go that high up on the...
Exactly.
Northern Lights bomb. Can't do a traditional brain avalanche brainbuster. You do a Northern Lights bomb.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So that is the Corker show, and I thought it was a pretty good show, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I would say it's probably the best out of all of these shows that...
And then
talking
after
about
the match, Anzai came up to challenge, even though I thought it might have been Suwama.
Yeah, I actually expected Suwama as well, but... what do you think about Anzai challenging?
I'm not surprised. They teased it.
Mm-hmm.
They've been teasing it since January. So I'm not completely surprised. I guess the question is, do you go, like, I don't know. At this point in 2024, what's a bigger match to fill an Ota War gym? Nakajima versus Anzai or Suwama versus Nakajima?
I think it might actually be Anzai versus Nakajima because people want to see.
Yeah.
And they also want to be there in case like history is made as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, their match in the N1 was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best N1 matches. I have no doubt that their Triple Crown match is going to rule. I guess the only thing is like, you know, do you want to have? Well, this will be his what, second Triple Crown challenge? I guess it's not that big of a deal.
No, and he's still super like early in
the rub. One. Yeah, it's fine. I just I thought Suwama would be a good little thing that they could do.
I mean, I do think Anzai has a very outside chance of winning.
Sure. More of a chance than Suwama.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, out of all of the title defenses, this is like the first one where I'm actually thinking there is a chance.
A small
Nakajima chance. Might lose. A small chance, but I think there is one, which I didn't really think for the other title defenses so far.
Mm-hmm. So we jump back to West Japan Tour on February 24th at Akros Fukuoka, homecoming for Miyahara. Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Ryo Inoue defeated Ryo Inoue in 7 minutes and 57 seconds with the Northern Lights bomb. Once again, Inoue is the star of February. I'm giving Inoue the All Japan star of the month for February because he had a great match again here against Nakajima. Not surprisingly, but Nakajima gave him a lot. He just let him kick him and everything too a lot.
Yeah.
And it's about as good as you're going to get for a match that just went under 8 minutes, I thought.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought this was exactly what I wanted it to be. It's just both of them just kind of kicking each other and then Nakajima finishing him off. No, this was about as good as it could have been.
And the best match of Nakajima's little singles matches on this tour.
Out of the non-title one? Matches
yeah,
one?
On this sort of like weekend tour.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Nuki Doi and Hokutoro Mori defeated Seki Yoshioka and Sego Tachibana in 7:39 when Doi used a horizontal cradle on Tachibana. I did not see anything about a challenge after this match. But again, this was a solid little match because every guy in this match is good.
Mm-hmm. But again, it was kind of weird that Tachibana got pinned here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, he's the gay RTV title. Champion.
Yeah, I'll take Doi versus Tachibana.
Yeah, for sure. And Kuroshio Tokyo Japan and ATM defeated Toa Iwasaki and Ray Paloma in 12:29 with the Ikeman clutch from Kuroshio on Paloma. Again, not great. This is a waste of Iwasaki. I thought.
I mean, I was curious. What were they like throwing into the crowd?
There was little gifts or whatever.
Yeah, I think they were actually like Carbell stuff as well, because I think there was Carbell logo on it.
Of course. So nice to see Carbell Ito back in All Japan, I suppose.
No, he's not here.
Oh, sorry. I mean ATM. Yes. Or Carbell sponsoring All Japan, I should say, I guess. And then next up, Shitaro Shino and Dan Tamura defeated Renai Abe and Fuminori Abe in 903 with an ankle lock from Ishino and Ayabe. I mean, this is solid, and I'm not surprised at the finish either.
No, yeah, Ayabe really is getting jobbed out, which again makes it weird that he just keeps getting bookings, but who knows how like long in advance these were like scheduled.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, if he's in the champion carnival, we'll know. Ryuki Honda, Yuma Anzai, and Takao Omori, what a team. Defeated Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, and Hikaru Sato in 13:29 with an axe bomber from Omori on Sato. Which brings up, and I enjoyed this a lot because it was fun. Mm-hmm. Just a fun match with these guys doing their thing. Paul, Omori getting wins. Is he getting heating up at something?
He's going to be in a carnival.
He might have to be.
Yes.
We'll talk about that a bit later.
Just love how you just curse this entire thing absolutely by being like, well, you can't just put Takao Omori back in the carnival, and then that's exactly what they're going to do now. By like everyone getting injured and they had to call him back.
Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, and Rising Hatter defeated Jun Saito, Kono, and Toshizo in 22:36 with a shutdown suplex hold from Miyahara on Toshizo. I mean, first of all, this had great heat, and honestly, for 22 minutes, this wasn't as bad as you would have thought. Not. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. I'm impressed how they got the week, given that, like, two out of the, like, with Kono and Toshizo. That was a pretty good match, all things considered, I thought.
No, definitely. I think it helped that it was, like, a homecoming for Kento as well, which means that he was even more over than he normally is.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was interesting, though, in the post-match that Yuma actually did get chance, even in Kenta's hometown.
Yeah. So that was that show. And then on the 25th at the beautiful Kyoto KBS Hall in front of 572 fans, mm-hmm. Katsuhiko Nakajima defeated Ren Ayabe in 12:18 with the Northern Lights bomb. This was very dry. I was expecting more because I thought Ayabe has looked really good in tags as of, as of late. So I was a little surprised at how dry this felt.
Yeah, that was definitely disappointing. Who knows? Like I said, we haven't really gotten many chances to see Ayabe in singles matches, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like he's still a bit of a step away from becoming like a full worker. But if he can transition what he's doing in tag matches to like a formula that works in singles matches, I think he can still get there.
Mm-hmm. And like Nakajima slaps.
Yes. Oh, God, that's so good. I think, I didn't talk about the one that he used in the title match against June there, where he just, like, that's even more impressive, where he just floors someone the size of, like, June Saito with, like, a just really believable slap.
But it is very believable, right?
Yes, it is. Thanks to poor Atsushi Kotoga getting knocked out and poor Tetsuya Endo.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then we had a three-way match. Takao Omori defeated Toshizo and Kazuaki Mihara in 6:09. When Toshizo was disqualified, this was nothing. Just filler. Shotaro Shira and Hokuto Omori defeated Kuroshio Tokyo Japan's Seigo Tachibana in 9:38. When Ashino used this T-bone suplex on Tachibana, I thought this was a nice little match.
Mm-hmm. And Franz Terrible explodes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then Ryuki Han and Yuma Anzai versus Jun Saito and Kono went to two double countouts, which really I thought was so silly.
Yeah, I didn't get this one at all.
Just pin Kono, come.
Yeah.
Are you really in any position to deny?
No.
No, give me a
book. Happy if you can get any bookings.
And then the junior special 8-man tag match, Rising Hayato, Hikaru Sato, Seki Yoshioka, who's looked good on these shows, I should add, mm-hmm. and Abe, defeated Dan Tamura, Ryo Inoue, Naruki Doi, and Brother Yashi in 15:17 by referee stop when Hayato got Tamura in the overdose. This was really good, and I thought the ending was great.
Yeah. Very clearly, obviously, like the title match that they're going to do. Have they actually announced the date for that already?
I can tell you. Yes, they did. We'll get to that in a second.
Hmm?
Brother, I don't remember a single thing Yashi did in this match.
No, I actually forgot that he was in there.
Yes, I did too. But that's good.
Yeah. Because he was never all that great, and he's, I don't know how old he is now, but he's not a spring chicken.
He's got to be at least in his mid-40s.
Yeah, because he was like an early, like, yeah, he's 42.
Oh, younger than I thought. That's actually,
yeah, young. I mean, he's been around since 2000, so.
Oh, he had debuted when he was 18, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a soft spot for Kondo and Yashi's tag team in All Japan, but,
you know. That was a while ago.
Yes.
That was 10 years, more than 10 years at this 15 point.
15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years
Over
ago.
Over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And then in the World Tag Team Championship decision match, Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defeated Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi in 25-27 when Suwama pinned Aoyagi with a bridging backdrop hold, but also Hideki got the double pin on Miyahara too, of course, to become the 98th champions. I thought this started well and then slowed down in the middle, but I thought the last few minutes between Aoyagi and Suwama were actually pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was weird, though, that it was like, it felt like the match was like 90% Yuma, Aoyagi, and Suwama.
Yes. That's the thing. But I think that's probably as good as a match you're going to get out of Suwama and Hideki as a tag team these days.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I think they were still really good. I mean, like, Hideki was still a good tag worker, like, last year, like a year and a half ago, basically.
Yeah, he's just collecting
checks. Same with Suwama.
Yeah, well, Suwama looked better here than he did in other stuff recently.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's actually a miracle that Suwama has, like, quote-unquote held up as well as he did.
I would say so, yes, given that he had an Achilles tendon.
Yes, that is the big thing.
In his,
like,
40s.
Looks the way he looks, tore his Achilles, came back from the Achilles injury.
Has asthma.
Early.
Has asthma. So
yeah. If he is finally slowing down, fair enough. He's done his time.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that the Saitos were retaining here.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was fully expecting Kento and Yuma to win.
Like even before when it was the Saitos?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not surprised because I think it's because the carnival's coming up.
It would have made sense to have the Saitos in the carnival, yeah.
And keep the titles on this on the
Yeah. And actually, if you actually look at it with, like, Honda and Anzai facing off with, like, Voodoo Murderers right on the undercard.
Yeah.
That was probably still, like, the thing where, like, they were probably, like, if the Saitos were going to retain here, I still feel like New Period are, like, the ones that are getting built up to
well, New Period is going to win those, probably winning those DDT, KOD tag titles.
Yeah.
And
then win the All Japan titles after that at some point.
I will be so angry if... Look, I understand that Yuma's going to be losing to Takeshita.
Mm-hmm.
But if New Period lose to Endo and Ino, oh, I'll be so pissed. Like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no.
How could you allow that, All Japan?
Yeah, just don't book the match on that case.
I don't think DDT drives a hard bargain when you're coming to your negotiations about who's doing jobs as other companies. So how
no.
Do you let them walk all over you like that? You know. So, yeah. Paul, so before we preview the upcoming shows, which mm-hmm. may reveal some insights into the carnival, this is a very thin roster
yes.
in terms of the contracted wrestlers.
Yeah, there's like barely any there. It's like
now,
10 people, so maybe.
We need people. Now, look, pound for pound, it's actually an incredible roster. Like,
yes.
Who's the worst wrestler under contract? What, like Hokuto Omori?
Hokuto Omori or Jun Saito, I would say.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's...
And that's still like a very solid worker. Like, and they're both really good tag workers.
Yes. So, yeah, but you just can't fill out the cards like this because we're going to be stuck with more Ray Paloma matches.
I mean, so I don't know how much interest he has doing like a more permanent stuff, but at the very least, if you can convince someone like a Seki Yoshioka to work more regularly, that would already help.
Yeah. So last night when I woke up this morning, I saw that All Japan put out their full cards for the 9th, the 10th, the 12th, and the 20th. So I'm here very quickly on March 9th, Dream Power Series, presented by Sakuta Refrigeration Construction Company. Someone could have a giant walk-in freezer built in their home.
Why not?
Okay, so we got Actress time again. It's Mirai, Aona, and Koki versus Mary and Act, and that's Act Yasukawa. So actually, that might be a pretty good match because Aona is like their best worker.
And okay, Act. I mean, if we slowly move up for like Actress goals, matches getting better, then
and Act Yasukawa was a great wrestler. I just haven't seen her since she came back to wrestling.
Yeah.
So, trivia note, Kohei Wada was the referee in that infamous match.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yes, because that was after he left All Japan because of the eye incident, and he was freelancing.
Oh, yeah, it was like, why was he? Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
And that was
that's a cool fact.
That was very early stardom, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did a lot of Joshi refereeing, and he has. And then six-man tag match, Naruki Doi, Ryo Inoue, and Hikaru Sato versus Fuminori Abe, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka. I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good match.
And it looks like Musashi's going to be a...
Oh, yeah, we forgot about Musashi.
Because even like Jinsei Shinzaki was like, oh, it's a good idea. He's going to All Japan or something.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, he challenged, like he was kind of like, trying to like challenge for the title as well.
I would not be shocked. Look, would it shock you if like he wins within the next 3 months he's the junior champion? No.
No, I mean I would still maybe like go with Hayato.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. But if that's the way you can convince like a Musashi to come and it's probably be like, yeah, we're gonna give you the title, then I think you do that.
Yeah. And in the following two matches are proof that this roster is very thin because look at these teams. Yuma Aoyaki and Seiko Tachibana versus Takao Mori and Osamu Nishimura.
Yeah, that's...
And Kento Miyahara and Ren Ayabe versus Jun Saito and Kono.
Oh, God.
So, I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, those are like very random teams.
Katsuhiko Nakajima and Hokuto Omori versus Ryoki Honda and Yuma Anzai.
Yeah.
I mean, could they job New Period again?
They really shouldn't. I don't know.
But on the belief that they're going to win the tag titles in DDT in a week anyway.
But don't you want them to go into that match looking kind of strong? Like, yeah. Even if it's in a different promotion?
Yeah. I don't know. I could see Nakajima and Homori winning. Because you need challenges for decades.
On the other hand, though, like... If Anzai wins here, right? Like,
oh, right.
We want him to build up for a title challenge.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Never mind. I totally forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah.
That
makes sense. So I think that just makes more sense if Anzai just pins Omori here, or even if he pins like Nakajima.
That could happen. World Tag Team Championship match: Hideki Suzuki and Sawama versus Shitaro Shino and Kuroshio Tokyo, Japan. Paul, is Shino getting pinned here?
I mean, Jiro almost never gets pinned, right?
I know, which is... Jiro, I don't even understand how he gets away with it.
Well, it's because he's the friend of all of the children.
Yeah. Ashino losing when Jiro's right there. I hate that.
Look, as long as he doesn't get like embarrassed or something, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll see. I still think Ashino's eating the pin here. I don't like it. And then in the main event,
it's also just for quick, it's also weird to see like Jiro and Ashino teaming.
Yeah.
Just from like all of the things that happened and none real, like all in kayfabe, but still like all of the kayfabe stuff between them in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like basically blood feuds against each other. And now they're like, yeah, let's just have a random title challenge.
Well, you know, it's like such famous, it's like such famous tag teams as Giant Baba and Stan Hansen and Kazuchika Okada and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's like finally uniting after a long time. Wrestle One will live forever.
Yeah. And then in the main event, and this is the main event. Oh, no, it's not. Sorry. I thought it was. But I assume it's got to be now. I can't see the world tag teams being put over this match. Dan Tamer versus Rising Hayato.
I mean, if Hayato's winning, then yeah, no, I don't think you can put that. Event. Yeah.
You got to put the main event. And Hayato should win. Look, I know he's really over, but it's his time, I think.
Yes. Especially with Atsuki out, like you need to make him the ace of the division now.
Yeah. It's time.
Yeah.
And it should main event.
Especially since he's kind of been sad posting as well. So you kind of want to like keep him happy.
I could tell you right now, I don't see why you would put this tag title match in the main event.
No, yeah, especially since it's just like not build up at all either. Like it's not even like a build up team or anything.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully. And I think if it's in the main event, Hayato's winning especially.
Yeah.
And then we go to March 10th. In Takasaki in Gunma. Takasaki turn. What is Kawasanu Dream Power match? No, sorry. It's in Gunma. God. Listen to this.
Where was the junior title match again? I forgot.
Oh, that's Korkin.
Oh, that's Korkin. Yeah.
That was the Korkin on the night.
Yeah, yeah.
This is quite the interesting show in Gunma. Hokuto Omori and Ryuji Sai. Versus Ryo Inoue and Takayoshi.
Sure. Why are we booking Ryuji Sai again?
I don't know. Hey, if you can get to Daimonji, so I will allow it. So that's that. We got Yuma Aoyagi versus Fuma.
Sure, why not?
We got Dan Tamer and Musashi versus Rising Hayato and Masada.
I mean, that would, again, point towards, like, Hayato winning, right? Because if Musashi wants to be the next challenger, then why is he teaming with Dan?
Yeah. But then we got Suwama, Hideki, Suzuki, and Hikaru Sato versus Shotaro Shino, Kurashio, Tokyo, Japan, and Seigo Tachibana.
Yeah.
Kento Miyahara and Ren Ayabe versus Jun Saito and Toshizo.
So, it's... But with Ayabe, but then Kento will have to lose, right?
Well, Toshizo does get pinned from time to time.
True, but again, otherwise, like, Ayabe has been losing all of his matches, so...
So
it would mean that he is actually, like, on a winning team for once.
Yeah. And then, this is the Yuma Anzai Triumphal Return match and the Triple Crown Heavyweight Prelude Tag match. We got New Period... Yuma Anzai and Ryuki Honda versus Katsuhiko Nakajima and Hartley Jackson.
It's one of these things. It's not like the others.
Yeah. And then on March 20th in Saitama at Aikos Agio, we've got Ryuji Hijikata as himself versus Ryo Inoue. We got
Did you see Ryuji Hijikata being shoe trash and like retweeting to see the matches?
Oh yes, I did.
Just unmasking himself. Sorry.
This is actually the 20th. Actually, there's a show on March 12th at Shinkiba. So this is actually what it is. So we got Seigo Tachibana versus Jun Saito non-title match.
Yeah, that's also weird. Like, why is that a non? I guess because June is winning, but then why are we booking it?
Yeah,
I guess that's more to your point that the roster is just so thin.
We got Yuma Aoyagi and Hikaru Sato versus Hokuto Omori and Seki Yoshioka. Again, very random.
Yeah.
We got Kazuhiko Nakajima versus Fuminori Abe.
I mean, I saw that one announced and I was like, oh yeah, that's a Paul match right there.
Hopefully they get at least 10.
Yeah. But again, even if it's short, I think it could be really good.
We got Shotaro Shino and Jiro versus Dan Tamer and Ren Ayabe. We got Musashi versus Ryo Inoue.
Musashi being built up. I think that could be really good.
Oh, yeah. And then we got Old Age versus New Age six-man tag match. Kento Miyahara, Hideki, Suzuki, and Suwama. Hey, Kento just turned 35 like a day or two ago.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Kento Miyahara, Hideki, Suzuki, and Suwama versus Ryuki Honda, Rising Hayato, and Yuma Anzai.
Like, I get it, because the others are like in their mid-20s, but still, like, putting like Kento in like the old age team is like
not even. I think Anzai is like the oldest at like 25.
No, Hayato is 25. The other two are 24.
Oh. Anzai will be turning 25 this year.
Yeah.
So that is that on the 12th. I think those couple of matches could be a really good show. Okay, so we're back to the 20th in Saitama. So Hijikata versus Inoue, Katsuhiko Nakajima, Hokuto Mori, and Harley Jackson versus Ryuki Honda, Yuma Anzai, and Fuminori Abe.
Yeah, again, the roster is really small, so they're literally just like shuffling the few people that they have around.
Yeah.
At least they do switch the matchups around. I think that's at least nice. But yeah, it is.
Well, that's just for us viewers. It doesn't really matter in these small spot shows, though.
Yeah.
Because you're just coming to see the thing.
But that's what I like, where like, because in theory, given how thin the roster is and that they are just going to these small areas, they could just like book the same matches over and over and over.
Yeah. So that's another prelude to Triple Crown. Dan Tamer versus Sego Tachibana, non-title.
Why are these all like non-title matches? That's
I don't know.
What I don't get.
Kento Miyahara and Rising Hado versus Yuma Aoyagi and Musashi.
Yeah.
Again, I think Musashi versus Hado is happening on March 30th.
Yes, I think looking at these cards, I think it's even more safe to say that like Hayato is winning.
Kuma Arashi versus Jun Saito. I mean,
that is the most random out of all of them.
Oh, no, I want to see it.
I mean, I do want to see it, but it's like, why?
And Hikaru Sato and Suwama versus Shotaro Shino and Jiro. And then, of course, on March 30th, it will be Yuma Anzai versus Katsuhiko Nakajima for the Triple Crown. Paul, I'm going to give you a couple of names. And how do you feel about these people in the Champion Carnival? Red Ayabe.
Okay. Would say maybe 20% chance.
Okay. Kuma Arashi.
I would say probably 50-50 at this point.
Okay. Harley Jackson.
Given how much he's booked, might be like 60 at this point, yeah.
And Takao Mori.
100%.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he's in.
I mean,
why else is he back?
If those other three are in, I don't know if you need Omori.
No, yeah, but I don't think all of them are going to be in there. But I do feel like why else are we bringing Omori back and giving him wins if he's not going to be in the carnival?
Yes.
Especially after we gave him like this tearful goodbye at the Yoyogi show. Mm-hmm. And then he's just back like a month later.
Mm-hmm.
After Rei Saito gets injured and then Atsuki gets injured. So it's like, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would assume now that those Champion Carnival participants are being announced on the 9th.
Yeah. Because otherwise, like, when does the carnival? Yeah, the carnival starts like a month after that, right?
Just a little later in April than usual.
Yeah.
But so we'll see. But I thought the carnival was going to be great this year, but now I don't know, because you might have to start sticking in old guys.
I don't. I think it depends. Maybe if we get like a few outsiders as well. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah, like if there's anyone from DDT.
Yeah, or like a big foreigner or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And by big, I mean like all Japan standards of big.
Like bigger than Cyrus.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be back for sure.
I mean, Cyrus definitely could be back. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't even know who would be out there that is like a semi-big name that would be even... I don't know, yeah.
So how do you feel about All Japan right now? I mean, I thought the shows were mostly good.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
But nothing's been shows like good. Top of the line, you know, getting lots of hype type thing, right?
No, that's not. That's. I mean, to be fair, like a lot of the matchups didn't really lend themselves to that. I will say, like I said, on the Kurikan show, I do think probably my favorite match of this entire thing so far was Tachibana versus Inoue.
Yeah, that's good.
If you want to watch anything out of like from all of these matches that we talked about, I think that's the one that you need to go watch. Mm. But then otherwise, yeah, I don't think there was like a lot of like super hot stuff there. But it's still like I don't think the promotion is like as like molten hot as it was at like the beginning of the year, right? But I feel like they're still like hot.
Yeah.
Overall.
Well, yeah, it's like it's a downtime between. Well, I mean, A, there's been injuries.
Yeah. I mean, this is always kind of a down period for them.
You're waiting for the champion carnival.
Yeah. Because it's kind of basically the promotion is just in a holding pattern.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I'm sure the champion, I mean, they're ambitious on this champion carnival.
Hopefully.
In terms of
the buildings that they've booked. I mean, that's why I'm thinking maybe like that. Like, if you're in those buildings, right, you can't really, like, expect to draw big, like, as much as I love him, but, like, Kuma Arashi.
Yeah.
So you do need to put some, like, big outsiders in there if you want to, like, fill those buildings.
What do you think about then? Okay, Hideki, what are his chances?
I think Hideki's... I thought that was not even, like, a debate. I mean, he's a champion.
Really? Yeah, he's just a freelancer, and he doesn't work every day, so...
But I think...
And, of course, it's about negotiating with Hideki.
Yes, that's the other thing. Like, how many jobs am I going to do?
How many jobs am I going to do? Yeah. How many 3-minute draws am I going to do?
Can I pin Nakajima?
Yeah. So,
I mean, especially since we've seen like buildings from the new, or like we've seen photos now, right? From the, what's it called again? The new building that they're going to run.
Oh, yeah. I saw those Yokohama Buntai.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a stage. As opposed to like an arena type thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like a performing arts, like concert type thing.
Yeah. I'm curious how they're going to set that one up.
Probably use the screens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But again, it also looks like one of those places that doesn't really have a bad seat either.
Right. So that is All Japan and NOAH. Mm-hmm. So the finals of the Victory Challenge are on March 10th, so I think that will be after the next Korakuen and everything, All Japan Korakuen. So that'll be a good time to come back. So we'll talk about if Rezin Hayato has finally done it, and if who wins the Victory Challenge. So for Paul, I'm Gerard, and we'll see you in
and
a couple
also
weeks.
Sorry, also yeah. Me, I will also give my carrot report as well.
Oh, when is carrot? Sorry, I totally forgot the date.
Yeah, so that is next weekend.
Oh, is it? Okay, already.
Yeah,
I thought it was later in March. Okay, nope. Perfect. All right, then we'll have a detailed on-site report from 16 Karat. So we'll see you in a couple weeks. Take care. Bye.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.